So in 40 days, with Hashem's help, it's going to be Yom HaKippurim. And I must admit that this shiur was prepared for selfish purposes. Because every Yom Kippur, ultimately the same things happen. I get to shul for mincha, all pumped for the rest of the day. And comes the Baal Maftir to Lein Yona, and within a minute or two I find myself dozing off, and it's very hard to stay awake. What makes it particularly challenging, beyond the challenges of fasting, which a person already begins to feel, Kam Mincha Tan Yom Kippur, it's just a lot of text. It's hard to appreciate a story that's so rich if you're looking at it for the first time on Yom Kippur afternoon. So I, as I said, this is really a shiur that was prepared with selfish purposes, but the purpose really is so that when we do read the story on Yom HaKippurim, it's a really a very rich and meaningful story to us, one that we can appreciate with greater depth and significance. So the plan is it'll be four shiurim. Each shiur will cover a perek. The first perek really sets out the storyline and deals with some fundamental issues. So before we delve into the story itself, who was Yonah? We'll see in the first pasuk, the Navi is identified as Yonah ben Amittai. But who is he? We don't know much about him. So the Mefarshim have a bit of a machloka. So I'll just share with you the Ibn Ezra, which I think is probably the most plausible explanation. So the Ibn Ezra in source number one says, Yonah ben Amittai, Zeha Navi hisnave al Yeravam ben Yoash. Yonah is actually identified in Malachim Beis as one of the Nevi'im who talks to Yeravam ben Yoash. V'chein k'siv hu asher diber Hashem biyad avdo Yonah ben Amittai asher migas hachifer. In Malachim Beis, the Navi is identified as the same Navi, Yonah ben Amittai from Gas Chifer, which was a city in Zevulun. So it simply puts him as a Navi in the 8th century, about 100 plus years before the 10 tribes are exiled from the northern kingdom. And it's the same Yonah that we are reading about today.
Wasn't he the son of the
Shatzor? So that's what some people say. Some want to suggest that Yonah was the one who Eliyahu resurrected.
That makes sense, because Eliyahu would be around.
That's true. But you don't usually see the Mefarshim tying those two ideas together. The Ibn Ezra suggests that it's just the same Yonah who he came across in Malachim Beis. Another Mefarshim want to suggest that it is the individual, the child, who Eliyahu resurrected that we also learn about in Malachim. Okay, be it as it may, we are going to delve into the story now. So let's start with source number two. These are the first three psukim of Sefer Yonah, perhaps one of the most troubling sets of psukim that we will encounter throughout our studies. Vayhi devar Hashem el Yonah ben Amittai lemor. The word of God came to Yonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Kum leich el Nineveh, hayir hagedola. Go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a large city in Assyria, current day Iraq. What should you do when you get to that city? Ukara aleha. Call out to it, ki alsa ra'asam lefanai, because their evil has come before me. Interesting. There's no more information about the Nebuah. We're going to come back to this a little bit later. But seemingly at this point, it's a very ambiguous type of job. Go to Nineveh, the large city, and call out to it because their evil has come before me. What's Yonah's response to his mission? He's a man of God. We would expect that a man of God knows what to do. He should be getting up and going directly to Nineveh. But in fact, we see something very different. Pasuk Gimel, Vayakam Yonah Livroach Tarshisha. Interesting, the same verb is used, right? Hashem says, Vakum leich el Nineveh, get up and go to Nineveh. And Yonah uses that same oomph, but does something very different from what God wants. Vayakam Yonah livroach Tarshisha milifnei Hashem. Yonah gets up and runs away to Tarshisha. Some want to suggest that's a city in the southernmost part of Spain. He runs away again. Vayakam Yonah livroach Tarshisha milifnei Hashem. He runs away from God. Vayered Yafo. He goes down to the port of Yafo. Vayimsa an Yaba Tarshish. He sees a ship that's going towards Tarshish. Vayitin schara. He pays his way. Vayered ba lavo imahem Tarshisha milifnei Hashem. And Yonah goes into the ship. Again, he's running away from the Ribono Sha'olam. And the rest of the parak will tell us about the storm that hits the ship on their way to Tarshish. end of the first segment of the psukim. So what do we know? We know very little. We know that God speaks to Yonah. The actual message is not included. What's Yonah's response? Yonah's response is, well, he actually doesn't articulate anything. We just see his response from his actions that he runs away. So what are a couple of, let's throw out some questions. These are really challenging psukim. Let's throw out some questions together. What bothers us about these opening psukim? Please. Okay. I'm listening. Just trying to
understand.
How can you run away from Hashem?
Excellent. We're talking about a Navi here. A Navi knows Meloh Haaretz Kvodo, that God's glory filled the entire world. How could Yonah even have a Hava Amina that he can run away from Hashem? Good. Excellent question. We will deal with it. What else?
I don't think he's right in submit. How could God say that the evil came in front of me?
Okay.
God knows what's going on, and all of a sudden, this is something that burst the balloon, or whatever you call it.
Hashem got somehow a news alert. He wasn't aware previously. Right. Very good. Let's take that question and maybe focus in a little bit more on it. Yes.
The other thing is that we don't know why. We know later why.
Right.
I mean, in the beginning, why does it do it?
Very good. Okay, good. So we're moving away from Chana's question, but your question is also phenomenal. One that Mefarshim struggle with. Why?
It's also going towards Tarshish.
It means that it's going towards Tarshish. But your question is a very good one. Why is Yonah running away?
Why
to Tarshish? We can come back to that. It might just be representative of outside land of Israel. But why is Yonah running away? What's he afraid of? Shouldn't he be rejoicing that Moshe is sending him on a mission to go to the Umos HaOlam to have them repent and return back to Hashem? That's a wonderful mission. Why is Yonah so hesitant towards it? We'll come back to that. We will come back to that, but yeah.
I think that it's true that he was a Navi, but then maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe depend how he understood himself about the mission that God is giving him.
Right.
So maybe he did not have, almost like Moshe Rabbeinu, when he encountered the burning bush,
right,
and he had for a whole week a conversation with God.
Okay, so we'll come back to that also. So we're throwing out some phenomenal questions. I'll take one more and then I'll summarize the questions we're going to focus on.
Nineveh wasn't full of Jews. How come that Sunday he is supposed to be a prophet for the non-Jews?
Okay, beautiful. So we've actually focused on the three questions that I want to focus on. The first one actually is working directly off of what you mentioned. Since when does Hashem send a Navi to speak to the non-Jews to have them repent? Now, to be fair, the commentaries point out that you see all the time the prophets prophesizing about the non-Jews, about the Umos HaOlam. But it's always to the Jews about what's going to happen to them with the non-Jews. That's unique, and that's also that's directed towards B'nai Israel. This story, in just a vacuum, is about Yonah being sent to the non-Jews, to Nineveh, to encourage them to repent. Why is God sending a prophet to the non-Jews to have them repent? Question number one. Question number two, why is Yonah so hesitant to go? Yonah runs away. Hashem says, go to Nineveh, speak to them, encourage them. Yonah says, Hashem, I'm not interested. See you later. Why is Yonah so hesitant to fulfill his mission? And question number three, what you mentioned, what was Yonah thinking? How can you run away from God? God is everywhere. Yonah is a chacham, he's a Navi. What was he even imagining would happen? So ala rishon, let's discuss the first question first. And as we go through the different commentaries in the story itself, we'll see some profound ideas that relate to tshuva, but the truth is that the tshuva theme will become more expressed in the later prakim.
It just reminds me of something in the Torah when Hashem tells Yaakov to go down to Mitzrayim, and Yaakov Avinu does not want to go down to Mitzrayim because he knows
right.
what this will bring.
Good.
And this is a very similar, and Moshe Rabbeinu did also want to
good.
Run.
We're going to see these. We're going to talk about that.
I'd like to add something,
yes.
if I may, because something of what the Rabbanit said. Also, if we go back to Kriyat Yom Suf, when your question was, why is God sending him to save non-Jews?
Right.
When the Egyptian drowned, God also is very upset why we are singing.
Good.
That's why we don't have the Hallel.
We're going to come back to that in a moment. So let's see source number three, the Malbim. We're going to focus on a couple of key commentaries and their approaches to the different parts of Sefer Yonah. We're going to focus mostly on the Malbim, the Radak, a little bit the Ibn Ezra, and a couple of others along the way. So Malbim in source number three. Hasha'elot. He begins his commentary on Yonah, like we've discussed, his commentary on the Torah. He begins with many questions. So one of his questions, Hasha'elot. Lo matzanu b'shum makom. We never find she'yishlach Hashem navi mibnei Yisrael. Where Hashem sends a Navi, a prophet from the Jewish people, directly to the non-Jews. Again, within the context of Nebuah, within the context of prophecy, the prophets speak about the non-Jewish nations. But never one going directly to the non-Jews to communicate only with the non-Jews. Bipratut, specifically, Sheyelech el Medina min ha'umos. To go to a non-Jewish country, lahachziro sam b'tshuva, to get them to repent. Ki zerach miyuchal liyisroel. This is something unique with the Jewish people. Shechala bam hashkacha ha'elokis. They have divine providence. The Bnei Yisrael are special. So we get prophets to encourage us, to inspire us to repent. The non-Jews don't have that privilege. So how are we to understand the entire book of Yonah? So says the Malbim in source number 3, paragraph 2, and we're going to contrast that to the Radak's approach. Says the Malbim in source 3, paragraph 2, on the words, Kum leichel ninveh v'kara aleha, go up to Ninveh and call to it. Sheyashuvu b'tshuva. First of all, the Malbim's giving us the tochen, the meat and potatoes. What is the communication of Yonah? Inspire them to repent. V'lohaya hashlichus b'shvil Ninveh. Comes on the Malbim and says something profound that has great theological implications. This had nothing to do with Ninveh. Ki lo matzanu sheyishlach Hashem navi miyisrael lahashiv esa'akum etshuva. We don't find anywhere else where God sends a prophet to the non-Jews to inspire them to repent. Because again, God only interacts on this level with the Jewish people. Rak, however, this whole story really revolves around the Jewish people. Achar she'ashur, the Assyrians, huchan liot shevet apo shel Hashem lerados boas Yisrael sheneschaibu lemakom. Who was going to be the nation that was going to exile the 10 northern tribes? Who was it going to be? It was going to be the Assyrians, Ashur. So Ratzah Hashem lahashivam b'tshuva. God wanted the Assyrians, and Ninveh was one of their largest cities, kedei sheyu muchanim l'malos gezeroso al Yisrael. What?
Scary. Now you know where you want to go.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so we're going to understand that. Exactly. Shalom. So what's the whole reason? What's going on here? Why is Hashem sending a prophet to the non-Jews? God doesn't interact that way for the non-Jews. The answer is that has nothing to do with the non-Jews. This was a nation that was going to exile the 10 tribes. And the Ribono Sholem wanted to make sure that they themselves had merit. They're going to be the Shluchim of the Ribono Sholem. So they need to be on a certain level. So therefore God says to Yonah, go tell them to repent. Because I want them to be my messengers to fulfill my mission as it relates to Bnei Yisrael. I learned with your husband a book on Hashkacha Pratis, on divine interaction. So one of the chapters focuses on how does God interact with the non-Jews. So one of the approaches is actually based on the Malbim, that God is really focused almost uniquely on the Jewish people, but when the non-Jews come into the story, when it's relevant for God's focus on the Jewish people to also focus on the non-Jews, so God will. And this is the exact story right here. God is really focused on B'nai Israel. God needs shluchim right now. He needs messengers to fulfill His unfortunate decree that the northern tribes need to be exiled. So what does God do? God says, okay, my shluchim need to be on some level meritorious on their own. Yonah, go to Nineveh. Because I need Nineveh and I need the Assyrians to fulfill my mission in a number of years. It'll be a century plus later. Yes.
And I think maybe like what you mentioned about that, you remember, very good memory, that Yonah ben Amittai supposedly is the son of the Ishatzafat.
Right, we have to mention that, right.
So maybe he had special abilities to convince the Nineveh because he knew how to get to them.
Very good.
In order to...
Okay, very good.
To fulfill the mission.
Very nice. So just to show you the end of the Magma over here, Ratza Hashem leharos she'ashur yesh lo zechus Yosef miYisrael. God wanted to show B'nai Israel that the Assyrians were even more worthy than B'nai Israel. Shehem shamu ledivrei hanavi. Hashem was hoping that Yonah would go to Nineveh, speak to them, they would be inspired to repent. And Hashem could now point to the non-Jews and say, Jewish people, my kindleth, look at the non-Jews. Look how they can repent. And now you understand why you're chayav, you're obligated to be exiled. So now we can already begin to understand Yonah's hesitancy. Why didn't Yonah want to go? Why didn't Yonah want to go?
Because it would prove that the Jews aren't worthy.
Who wants to be that guy who makes that point? Right? Who wants to be responsible for B'nai Israel's downfall? You're going to see Yonah ultimately says, I'd rather give up my life than be responsible for anything bad happening to B'nai Israel. What a powerful message. I'd rather give up my life. We're going to read soon that Yonah tells the sailors, throw me off the boat. I'd rather die than cause harm to B'nai Israel. What a powerful idea. So that's the Malchus approach, and again, deep theological issues, that God really primarily interacts with the Jewish people. It's just when there's a need to bring in the non-Jews, He will also interact more divinely, more intimately with the non-Jews.
Except...
Yeah? Please.
If the fact is that Yonah is such a believer,
right,
and he, I'd rather die than be the one.
Right.
But didn't he realize that when, you know, Hashem set forth a course?
Okay, so we're gonna come to that. Yes, we will come to that. Let's just look at the Radak because I really think it's a startling contrast. The Malbim focusing, this is shlichus for Yisrael. We just need to reach out to the Umos HaOlam because it's relevant for the picture. Look at the Radak of David Kimchi in source 4. We made ki akel yisparach mashkiach. God also cares about the non-Jews. Kishetiskadel ra'asam b'chamas. And Chana, that speaks to your point. You see, God has a different threshold depending on who He's dealing with. So for the Jewish people, maybe our threshold is lower, meaning we already make God upset at a much lower rate because Hashem expects more from us. But when it comes to the non-Jews, so God might let a little bit more go, different set of expectations. But ultimately, when a city is built of Hamas, of destruction, of horrible Averot, so God says, I can't let this go anymore. According to the Radak, did this have anything to do with the Jewish people? Directly? No. God cares about His non-Jewish creatures as well. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. But the point is, what's the level of interaction that God will have when He sees that His non-Jewish creatures are not fulfilling their mandate? So Radak says, when it gets to be really bad, God will intervene directly. And that's why God sends Yonah. And what's the precedent for that? Where else do we see when things get really bad, Hashem interacts? Good. Sodom, where else? Earlier. The Mabul. So look at the Radak. Noah, maybe he sent them Noah. Maybe Noah failed. Sodom, the Malachim came. And maybe that also was an opportunity to repent. There were maybe a little more subtle, but there were other people who went to inspire.
Interesting, Avraham's reaction vis-a-vis Yonah's.
Right, there are people contrast that. Yeah. So once let's finish the Radak. V'chim, this is source number 4. V'chim bedor hamabul. You see already, God does get involved when it gets really bad, even for the non-Jews alone. V'chim bedor hamabul uva'anshei Sidom. Ki malah aretz chamas. In both of those cases, the non-Jews were acting so badly that God said, I can't let this go anymore. When the sins become so bad, they're destructive to society, God says, I can't handle this. God wants us, God wants humanity to be dwelling in the land, to be cultivating the land, to be improving the world. Okay, so for other sins, if it's the, you know, if they're below the threshold, things are not that bad, we let things go.
Can I interrupt for 1 second? Another question. He forgot Yalevi Abo, he hasn't finished Shmoneh. Better it's said.
Yeah. So that is the Radak's take. Well, move on. There's a lot to be said, but the contrast, I think, is just startling, right? Malbim saying this is all about the Jews. The non-Jews are relevant to the Jewish story. And the Radak is saying, no, God cares. Everyone agrees God cares deeply about the non-Jews. Let me not be misunderstood. Question is, to what extent does God get involved to spur non-Jews to repent? And the answer is when things get really bad, that God can't quote-unquote tolerate it, then God gets involved. And that's the story of Yonah. So very different perspectives on why is Yonah being sent to Nineveh to begin with. We're going to need to move along, otherwise we'll be here till like 12 o'clock, which is fine with me, but I think other people might have to move on. So the Malbim in source number 5 addresses the next question. So we've dealt with question number 1. Why is Yonah being sent to Nineveh to begin with? Malbim's approach relates to the Jews. The Radak's approach, really, because the non-Jews in Nineveh were so bad, they needed a little mussar, maybe a lot of mussar, to help them repent. So question number 2 that we discuss is, why is Yonah so hesitant to go on his mission, running away from the Ribbono Shel Olam? What's his hesitancy? So now, based on the mob, and what would we suggest? We already mentioned it earlier. Why is Yonah so hesitant?
He doesn't want the Jews to look back.
Exactly. He doesn't want to be that guy that's responsible, right? History will forever know Yonah's the one that's responsible for the Assyrians being worthy enough to attack the Jewish people. Who wants to be that guy? So says the Malbim in source number 5. Well, I'll just skip to paragraph number 2. V'kasher yada Yonah ki mishlichu zeh titzmach ra'ali Yisrael. When Yonah realizes that if he fulfills his mission, bad will come to the Jewish people, Lachin Choshev Machshavos Bayelech Bishlichozeh. Yonah says, God, I am not interested. By the way, which other prophets tell God, I'm not interested? We mentioned before, Moshe, Yirmiyahu also pushes back. Now, obviously, there's a difference. Moshe pushes back, but Moshe doesn't run away. Moshe is engaged in a conversation, a heated conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam.
So says later on, "Lachenina."
That's true. That's true. But that's a different response.
But that's still not running away.
Right, exactly. So we can't be that surprised that a prophet pushes back a little bit. That itself is precedent for Moshe, Yirmiyahu. But for a Navi to run away, we've never seen before.
But no one was put position. You have to wonder. You know, Balak would be a good man to send.
Right.
Not Yonah. Why? What? That's quite a punishment.
Yeah.
To have to, you know, similar but worse than what Yaakov Avinu, because Hashem says, "Don't worry, I'll go down with them. I'll come out with them."
Right. That's true.
And
Yonah was so afraid of those consequences. So look what the Malbim says. We've already mentioned this. Last of bolder words on the first page. Ubachar Yoser La'aved et Atzmo Biyam. Yonah chose to commit suicide on the sea. Mishiyehu HaMissavev Ra'al Yisrael. Then be the one responsible for bad happening to Bnei Yisrael. The Avas Yisrael that you see here, the unbridled love that Jonah brought to the table here is just inspirational. God knew what he was doing. God was right. I mean, God doesn't need my approbations, but the Ribbono Shel Olam saw that Bnei Yisrael were sinning. The Jewish people, the non-Jews perhaps, were not sinning as bad. And Hashem said, this is what's going to happen. So it's not like Yonah accused God of making a misjudgment here. Yonah knew that this was ultimately going to happen. But Yonah said, I want nothing to do with it. God, you're right, God. It's fine. The Jewish people need to be punished. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to be the misaveh. I don't want to be the one responsible. Mitam ze amru chazal, just to finish off the Malbim, this is what the rabbis say, Shayona tava kavod haben, that Yonah was more interested in the honor of the son, v'lo tavod kavod ha'av. Was not as interested in the honor of the father, meaning the Bnei Yisrael are the children, the sons, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the father. Yonah was more focused on the children's kavod than the father's kavod. That's not necessarily a good thing. Sometimes a person can have a misplaced sense of obligation and honor. This might have been a little bit misplaced. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling you to go, you go. And ultimately we see that Yonah does go. But the Avas Hashem, the Avas Yisrael, that Yonah shows at this moment is really nothing less than breathtaking and inspirational. The Metzudas David in Source 6 makes the same point. Lo haya chafetz liyo shaliach v'davar ki haya tov ve'enav she'yamdu b'risha'am. You see, Yonah didn't want to go because in his mind he said, I'm not going to go. Nineveh will stay in their evil way. V'yovdu. They will themselves be destroyed. V'lo yu l'satan l'Yisrael. And they won't be able to bring harm to the Jewish people. It's the same concept. Yonah said, I'm going to run away. I'm going to foil God's plan. Because God's plan is that the Assyrians are going to attack, but that's only assuming that they're meritorious enough to be God's messengers. If I don't go, they continue to sin, God will be forced to destroy them, and the Jewish people will live on.
But again, he's putting himself almost in a godly way.
Right.
Because God directs all the traffic.
Right.
And I'm going to disappear if God doesn't want you to disappear. Fact is,
right.
The whale swallowed him, etc. So like, he's like going, believes in God, but he's going against God.
Correct. And there's an act of rebellion over here.
Yes.
There's an act of rebellion. Yonah says, God, I'm not doing it. You can have someone else. It's not going to be me.
But that's different. You can have someone else, then it won't happen. Over
right.
here, because what did Mordechai tell Esther?
Right.
You know?
Right, that's true.
So this deduction doesn't
that's
make
true.
So much sense.
Mitzudas David kind of takes it to more of an extreme. Malvim just says that Yonah didn't want to be Hamis Sabi.
Right.
He didn't want to be the one responsible.
Right.
He knew ultimately it was going to happen.
Right.
Mitzudas David said, well, maybe Yonah was hoping, well, if God doesn't get me, and then the Nineveh people in Nineveh continue to do evil, God will have to destroy it. Like, really? So maybe that's more of an extreme.
Yeah.
That's a subtlety, but that's an important point to make.
But
just want to, yeah.
Sorry, he's a Navi.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he knows it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't get it.
We're going to, we'll come to that, yeah.
If we have this situation going on, then the Prirach of Sheep has been taken away.
For Nevi'im, sometimes if God sends you on a mission.
Prirach of Sheep, it's because he was entitled to choose maybe something.
Doesn't
else.
Mean you can make a bit, you can have Bechira. He demonstrated his Bechira, he demonstrated his free choice, he ran away.
But it's still.
But it doesn't mean God doesn't punish you for your actions.
I'm not saying that it's not, but that the Prirach of Sheep, he was entitled to.
Yeah.
Not really.
Not really. When you're a Navi, the halakha is an Hanavi shekovesh et nivuato chayav mita. If a prophet decides not to share his prophecy, he's chayav mita.
Chayav mita, but he couldn't choose a different way.
So I hear what you're saying. Just throwing it out there, we're not going to really focus on it, but something to think about is, according to the Radak's reasoning, why Yonah is being sent to Nineveh, and it's really focused on the non-Jews themselves. What was Yonah's hesitancy? I mean, I understand from the Malbim, it really relates to the Jews. God was setting up the situation so that the Assyrians would be worthy enough to attack the Jews. But for the Radak's perspective, that this was only about the city of Nineveh. So why was Yonah so hesitant to go? What do we attribute his reticence to?
If I may.
Yeah, please.
The thing is, before we say that with the tzaddik, God handles much harsher way.
Right.
So in Israel, they got the Torah, and they got all the mitzvot, and
right.
they know how to behave, and they behave bad.
Right.
So therefore, they need to get a punishment. But maybe they need to get a punishment for somebody else, like Nineveh, and to see the difference. But I have a question here.
Yeah.
Why would Nineveh, or any other goy, or any other ones that didn't get the Torah,
right.
how could God be upset about their behavior?
We really reject the Radak said that God has a different threshold. He cares about different things, but when it reaches Hamas, then it's unacceptable. So just
it's probably the same thing, because you could just think practically, if they do tshuva, they're still our enemy. They're still annoying, so they can still come and attack you. So we want them to be strengthened.
Correct.
They're always an enemy.
Correct. That's what I think also, but it perhaps requires a little bit more thought. I would imagine that Yonah was afraid that if Nineveh did heed the call and repented, even if the purpose of Yonah's mission was for Nineveh alone, it would still reflect very poorly on Bnei Israel. So that's the second question answered, albeit it leaves some questions open. But in terms of Yonah's hesitancy, it's really because he understood that if Nineveh would do tshuva, would be chozrim b'tshuva, so it would reflect very poorly on Bnei Israel and possibly even create a calamity, where now the Assyrians are going to come and attack the Jewish people, which is in fact what happened. So now let's deal with question number three, and that is, what was Yonah thinking? We understand why he's being sent. We understand why he was hesitant to go. You can be hesitant to go, but listen, you think you're going to run away from Hashem? Let's remind ourselves of the language. Vayakam Yonah levroach tarshisha milifnei Hashem. Yonah says to himself, I'm not doing this. I'm going to go to Tarshish, which you said is in southern Spain, according to some historians, and I'll be going to run away from God. Who do you think? What are you doing? So very good. So that's what the Radak mentions in source number 9. I guess we'll skip to source number 9 for a moment, and that's as follows. Just read the Radak's question. Ve'ech yihyeh yachol livroach. How could he have thought he's going to run away? But David Amar Anami Panecha Evrach. David says, where can I run away from God? Meaning it's impossible. Ki anavi hayam malech chachma v'das. A navi such as Jonah is full with wisdom. Ve'ich hayach hoshev livroach nepnei Hashem. How could he thought he's going to run away from Hashem? So, essentially, I will just read a couple of lines from Radak in paragraph 2. Ella milifnei Hashem haya choshev. What's the focus here? Milifnei Hashem. It doesn't say mipnei Hashem. It doesn't say from exactly. It doesn't say mipnei Hashem from God. You only knew that's inconceivable. It's impossible. Ella milifnei Hashem choshev. Ki perush milifnei. What does the word milifnei mean? Medaber. Shehu lifnei Hashem. It means the communication, the spot of communication where God communicates with the Nevi'im. V'hu ruach ha-nevua. That's the spirit of prophecy. Bolder words. Ki choshev. What was Yonah thinking? She'im yatza mi'eretz yisoa l'chutza la'aretz. If Yonah ran away out from Israel to outside the land of Israel, lo tishra alav ruach nevua, that he would not be zocha to prophecy. So Yonah was thinking, I don't want to do this. So what can I do? I can't run away from God, obviously, but I can run away from God's word to me. I'm going to run away. God's going to say, Yonah, where are you? And God's mouth is going to be proverbially shut, because he can't communicate outside the land of Israel. So that's what Yonah was thinking. Yonah doesn't say Vayibrach le Tel Aviv or to Haifa, because then God could still communicate with Yonah. Yonah was thinking, let me run away to outside the land of Israel so that God will not be able to communicate with me anymore. The Malbim focuses in a little bit different, but it helps enhance the Radak's understanding. So look with me in source number 8. The Malbim is so sensitive to the language. V'hine, b'pam harishon lo shalach al yado nevua miyuchadas. You see, the first time when God spoke to Yonah, he didn't use any specific language. We pointed that out. What was the tochen? What was the message that Yonah was supposed to relay? We don't see that. So Malbim wants to suggest that actually there was nothing specific. Ki b'pam hasheni, we'll learn in Seskin Prakim, Sha'amar Lei, Hashem says to Yonah, Kara aleha es hakriya, asher anochi dober elecha, shehu ma shekara od arba'im yom v'nim v'nefeches. Later on, God gives Yonah a more specific nevuah. 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. She'az, but at this point in the story, God just gives Yonah a broad message. Tell Nineveh they need to repent. She'az lo nichta madai in gezar dinze. They didn't have the decree that they're going to be destroyed in 40 days. It was a broader, more ambiguous mission that Yonah was going to go on. Go and tell them to repent. V'lo shalchu b'toras navi Modia Gezeras Elio. Yonah initially was not being sent as a Navi who had a specific message to relay. Shim Haya Shokho Binyan Kazet. Because had Yonah been given very specific instructions what to say, Lo Haya Ober al Divrei Hashem. It's inconceivable that Yonah would have run away. How could he run away when God gave him specific words to say? Shanavi HaKovesh Nivuah Sochai Misa. Because a Navi who does not share his prophecies should be killed. Rak Amarli, what does God say to Yonah and only say to Yonah? Kara Aleha. Call out to it. Give it a little bit of mustard. Give it to the people in Nineveh a mustard shmooze. There was nothing more specific. And Yonah thought to himself, because it's not so specific, I'm not really being sent as a Navi, I'm being sent as a motivational speaker. I'm only a motivational speaker, I can run away. A Navi can't run away from God. Once you're given a mission, you gotta fulfill it. But all Yonah was told is, Kum el Nineveh, Vikara Aleha, go to Nineveh and call out to it. That was it, says the Malbim. And therefore, Yonah thought, I'm not a Navi right now. I'm just being told to go on a job to be a motivational speaker. All right, motivational speakers can choose to jump ship and not go on their mission. So that can also explain the Radak, by the way. Because Radak's whole point is, Yonah thought, if I run away, God can't communicate with me. Because I wasn't given the full token. I wasn't given the real substance. So I'll run away now, and then God will be able to share with me the real substance of the Nevuah. So they work really nicely in tandem, one with the other. Yes.
I don't know if that means anything or just jumps out. The fact that it's also al ba'im yom, does that have any implications?
With like rebirth? Well, we'll deal with our ba'im yom a little bit later when we come to it in the subsequent
suit. Many times in the Torah, Tanakh, they have 40 days. Even the
Shoftim,
they had 40 years, the land was quiet.
Right, that's true. 40 is certainly a symbolic number. I just want to share with you an interesting idea that Ibn Ezra brings in, and it's interesting because it's so preposterous, really, and Ibn Ezra rejects it. But it's source number 7, just to show you quickly. So Ibn Ezra has the same question we're dealing with now. What was Yonah thinking, right? How could it come to such a wise person? How could Yonah think he's going to run away from Hashem? So look what the Gaon, which is Rav Sadia Gaon. Look at what the Rav Sadia Gaon suggests. This is source 7, paragraph 2, the second line. V'hagon amar ki holech al Nineveh v'kara aleha. What does that mean? What does Rav Sadia Gaon suggest? Yonah went. V'hagon amar ki holech al Nineveh. No, Yonah went. V'kara aleha. He actually called out to Nineveh. V'lo hiskir zeha kasuf. The Navi just doesn't record that. Kimo kira'an lo v'yochel lechem. Anyone know what that's a reference to? Semi obscure.
By Abraham.
No. But you're in the right genre. It's Chumash, Chamish Chamshei Torah. Moshe goes to Midian. So the daughters come home and they say that we saw a nice young man at the well. Right? Even those days they spotted good catches. So what does Yitro say? Right, Karan lo vayochel lechem. Go call out to him and invite him to eat bread. Do we see anywhere that the daughters of Yisro go and actually invite Moshe? No. We never see anywhere, but obviously it happened.
It's assumed.
So that's what Rav Sadia says. It's assumed. Obviously, Yonah went. I mean, what's so interesting is that the question is so compelling to Rav Sadia going, how could Yonah think about running away that Rav Sadia is forced to say he must have gone? So obviously Ibn Ezra rejects that. He says, first of all, you can't compare. But ani omer ki ein zeh kemo zeh. One is not precedent for the other. Ki ein tam lahaskir im achal im lo achal im lo karu lo. Rak pogabo. What do we care if Moshe actually went to the house and he ate bread? It doesn't make a difference. All we need to know is that Moshe went, he met Yisro, and so on and so forth. Ve'od im yona male devar Hashem. Furthermore, well, let me take a step back. In the case of Yisro, it doesn't make a difference. The details are inconsequential. Bottom line is, he met Yisro, he wanted to marry Tzipora, v'chulei. Here, it's crucial. Did Yonah go or not? That's A. And point B, the rest of the story, V'od, in Yonah Malei Devar Hashem, if Yonah actually did what God asked him to do, Lama Haya Boreach, why did he feel like he was running away to Tarshish? V'u'amar Al-Kadavi Livroach Tarshisha. Later on, Yonah says to Hashem, I know I ran away to Tarshish. Ran away? What do you mean? We went to Nineveh first. It's preposterous. It just can't be. But it just shows you the strength of the question. How could Yonah run away from Hashem? So, l'sikhum, and then we're going to move on. We have to finish up soon. Just, we presented 2+ answers to this question. How could Yonah think that he was running away? So the first answer, the Radak, and you see that in other Mefarshim, is Yonah thought, well, if I go to Chutz La'aretz, Hashem can't communicate with me. And therefore, I'm safe. Now, why did that help? So the Malbim helps articulate that and deepen the idea. Originally, God's command was not very specific. All Hashem said is, Kara, go call after them, tell them to repent. That was the whole communication. So Yonah thought to himself, if I run away, so first of all, I'm not really running away like a Navi who was given a mission. I'm like a motivational speaker. And Yonah also thought, if I'm outside of Israel, then Hashem can't talk to me anymore. And if Hashem chooses to be more specific, to really give them a real nevuah, he can't give it through me, he can't talk to me. So that's what's going on here. And then we suggest that Ibn Ezra quotes Rav Sadia going that maybe Yonah really did go. Very, very troubling. Okay, so let's move on. I'm happy to stay afterwards to discuss other details, but I would like to finish the parak. There are not too many more psukim. Really? Okay. I want to hear more about that. Okay. So what happens? What happens is as follows. In source number 10, the Torah says, the Navi records by Hashem, Hitil Ruach Gedola Al Hayam. The ship is going towards Tarshish, and God makes there be a big storm. Vayisa'ar Gadol Bayam. There's a tempest, there's lots of wind, there's a big storm. V'haniyach Hashval Yishaber. Now, literally, how do you translate those words? V'haniyach Hashval Yishaber. The boat thought about breaking. Obviously, the Mefarshim point out, the boat wasn't thinking about breaking, but it means that there was the sea was so strong it was going to break the boat. Vayiru HaMalachim, the sailors are fearful. Vayizaku Ish El Elokav. Now, just appreciate the irony here, right? Appreciate how Yonah's running away from Hashem. He's rebelling, and yet the rest of the parak will be about the non-Jews davening, praying. The contrast, it's really ironic. So, Vayiru HaMalachim, the sailors are fearful. Vayizaku Ish El Elokav, they each cry out to their own God. Vayatilu Es Hakelim Asher Baniyal Hayam, they throw off all their merchandise. Lahakel Ma'alehem, to make the ship lighter so it wouldn't sink. Vayona Yarad Al Yar Kisei Hasfina Vayashkei Vayardim. And Yonah basically went to the bottom of the ship and he was in a deep slumber. Now just imagine, you have a plane that's having horrific turbulence. How could anybody sleep through such turbulence? It's impossible.
It's called depression. What? I want to get away from it all.
Right? So that's true, but you see how Yonah turned off. Yonah must have, God, I'm not interested. Leave me alone. I don't care anymore. If you're going to kill me, kill me. But I don't want anything to do with it. The fact that he's able to sleep during these tumultuous storms, it means he just completely turned off. Hashem, leave me alone. Get it? Leave me alone.
Or sleep could be a metaphor.
That's true.
For he was not praying.
Right.
He cut Hashem off.
Correct. And you see the contrast. You don't need the Mefarshim, the story. That contrast. All the sailors see Hashem's communications in the storm and they start davening. They first start with their gods and we'll see they ultimately worship Hashem. But they start praying, connecting with Hashem. And Yonah, God leave me alone. I don't want it.
The next sentence says,
Vayakrev Elav Rav HaChovel, the captain goes to Yonah, Vayomar Lo, Malach Nirdam, how could you sleep? Kum Kira Elokacha, call out to your Hashem, to your God. Ulay Yit Aseis HaElokim Lanu V'lo Neved, perhaps God will be our salvation, your God will be our salvation, won't be lost. Vayomru Ishareu Lechu V'Napila Gora Los. So the men are so startled, they think something's going on over here. So they said, let us go and draw lots. Why is God doing this to us? Vayiplu gara alos, vayipol hagara al yona. And of course, the lot falls on Yonah. So the Razak points out in source number 12, we'll skip the Ashik and source number 11 for the time being. The Radak in source number 11, source 12 has a question, a basic question. Yishli tmoa baza. One has to wonder. Yishli tmoa baza inyan. Ich chashvu ki babur anshe haniyah zos hayasar gadol bayam. A little bit arrogant of the sailors to think that the whole sea is churning just for them. Right? They say, oh, let's have lots, let's pick lots to see why God's doing this. Who do you think you are? I mean, you have a tempest on the sea, you have a storm. So that's just nature. Why are they responsive? So, oh, let's pick lots to see who God wants. But who do you think you are? Weren't there other ships in the sea that were also going to be broken? Anytime a sea hits a storm, they say, oh, let's pick lot, let's do a lottery to see who God's after. What do you think you guys are? You're some sailor, a bunch of sailors. God doesn't care about you. So says the Radak based on the Medrash. Masasi Perek of Yelezer, Bo Aleihem Sar Gadol Biyam. There was a storm for the ship. Umiminam umismolam. The parallel there is deep also, because when you think about Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, anyways. Miuminam umismolam kol hanios ovros vishavos vishalom. The sea, the storm was just on them. To their right and to their left, the ships were passing in perfect weather. Vishtikios hayam. The water was calm for them. And it was only Yonah's ship that was in distress. That was going to be broken. Amru, and that's why the sailor said, "Bishami harazo, what's going on? What does God want from us? Lanu leneida ba'shir lemi harazo lanu ba'vor mihu. Who's God after? Who's God after?" The Mitzvah's David points out that the Navi uses the word goralos in plural. They didn't just do one lottery. They didn't want to rely on one lottery. You know, lottery sometimes has sometimes it's just chance. The lot that happens, it fell on Yonah. Yonah got the short straw. Go ra los. They did it multiple times because they wanted to make sure that it wasn't just chance, but there was a real message being sent directly to Yonah through this storm. So we're just going to read on and finish up over here. So what happens after the lot falls on Yonah a number of times? In source 14, Vayomru Elav Higida Na Lanu Ba'asher Lemi Hara Azos. So they say to Yonah, tell us, Yonah, what is going on here? Why is God doing this to us? Ma Melach Techa, what's your profession? Me'ayin Tavo, where are you coming from? Ma Artzecha Be'emize Amata. Who's your nation? What's your deal? Right, clearly, God's after Yonah. The lot consistently fell on Yonah. So the sailors turn to him and say, Yonah, what's your deal?
They're religious people.
Yeah. Vayomer aleihem ivri anochi. I'm a Jew. Ve'as Hashem, and look at the language over here. Ve'as Hashem elokei hashamayim ani yareh asher asa es hayam ve'as hayabasha. I fear, I am a God-fearing individual. I fear the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Creator, who made hayam hayabasha. Yonah begins to realize, I can't get away. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam who not only created the Yabasha, the dry land, but it's the God who created the Yam also. I think I'm getting away. There's no running away from Hashem. I think it's even deeper. Again, Yonah didn't think he could really run away from Hashem. But Yonah's realizing you can't even run away from your own personal mission. We've all got missions. God wants something specific from each and every one of us. And Yonah is realizing there's no running away from yourself. God wants something specific from you. You can't get away from that. The whole tshuva process is a process of returning to you. Don't return to me. Don't return to that other person. Return to yourself. Because Hashem wants nothing more than us to be who we are. And to find what we're on this world for. Everybody has their own specific mission. And Yonah's realizing, I can't run away from my mission. Hashem wants something uniquely from me. There's no getting around that. Although we see Yonah is still obstinate. He's still not running back to Nineveh. But he's beginning to realize you can't even run away from your mission. Of course you can't run away from Hashem. But your mission, tshuva, going back to yourself, it's inescapable. Can't get around that. So what are the sailors' response to Yonah's confessions? Vayu hanashim yira gedola. The sailors have a great fear. Vayom re'lav mazo sasisa. Yonah told them the whole story. Yonah said, I'm running away from Hashem. So the sailors turn to Yonah and say, Yonah, what are you doing to us? They said to him, what should we do to you, Yonah? The storm is getting worse, churning the boat more and more. And the sailors said, Yonah, what should we do to you? Threw me into the sea. Again, you see this tension with Yonah. Yonah gets that he's on a mission, he can't run away, but Yonah also feels deeply that if this is going to harm the Jewish people, I'm not interested. So Yonah says, throw me into the sea. And Yonah basically says, you know what guys, throw me in. It's all about me, it's my responsibility, I will meet my fate. The tension there. I can't run away from my mission, but then I'm giving up. I don't want to have anything to do with harm coming to B'nai Israel. We'll just finish up the psukim, and then we will conclude. If you have more time, you can look in sources 15 and 16. They focus on different nuances of the conversation over here. I want to just get to the last pasuk, because I think that's the most important. V'yichteru hanashim l'hashibes al hayabasha. You just see how righteous these sailors were. Yonah says, throw me in and it will stop. It was so obvious. It was all about Yonah, and the sailors say no. They tried so hard to sail, to get towards the land. Of course they couldn't. Because the storm is getting worse. Now they all call out to Hashem. God basically, don't hold us responsible for killing this person, right? They thought they were going to kill Yonah. They're throwing him into the sea. Ki ata Hashem kasher chafatz asita. God, whatever you want to do with him, do with him. Vayisu es Yonah.
They're doing the same thing as Yonah.
That's true. What do you mean?
They also don't want to be responsible.
Okay, but here it's different because they're doing seemingly what God wants them to do. Right. God's going to either kill all of them or he's going to kill Yonah. Vayisu es Yonah, vayitilu el hayam, vayamod hayam izapo. They throw Yonah in and immediately the sea stops. And the last pasuk I think is most interesting. Vayiru hanashim yirah gedola es Hashem. The people have a fear of God. I mean, they saw God. This is miraculous. They saw God. They offer sacrifices. And the Mefarshim point out there were probably no live animals on the boat. It doesn't literally mean they offered sacrifices. It mean they prayed to Hashem. They took on nedarim. So some want to say they made a vow to give charity. Others want to say they converted. But the point is they were so inspired what happened. So I just want to point out, and this is why I close, the irony over here. Yonah runs away so as not to make the Jewish people look bad. And at the end of Perek Aleph, the Jews look pretty bad. Because the non-Jews are seeing God's hands and they are repenting immediately. They see the storm, they realize it's a message from Hashem, immediately they're repenting. So all of Yonah's efforts to run away so as not to reflect poorly on B'nai Israel already at the end of Perek Aleph are foiled. Because you have a whole bunch of non-Jewish sailors who are already now believers. No problem. So we'll stop here for the end of Perek Aleph. With Hashem's help, we will continue next week with Perek Beis. Let me just summarize and then we'll stop and I'm happy to stay for questions. We started off, we focused on three basic questions that come up in the first part of Perek Aleph, right? Why was Hashem sending a Navi to the non-Jews? What was Yonah's hesitancy? Why did he really think he could escape from Hashem? We discussed either Hashem is sending Yonah for the sake of the non-Jews or for the sake of the Jews. Malbim Radak. We pointed out that Yonah's hesitancy was really because he felt that if he would go and Ninveh would repent, Am Yisrael would look terrible. Yonah said, I have nothing, I don't want anything to do with this. And what was he thinking? He could really escape Hashem? Well, he didn't really think he could escape Hashem, but he thought if he went out to the land of Israel, so God couldn't communicate with him. But Malbim points out, God didn't really tell Yonah anything specific to begin with. So Yonah was hoping, well, if God is going to need to communicate with me more, he can't talk to me because I'm out of the land of Israel. Rav Sadia said that maybe Yonah did go, but that's very challenging in the text itself. Then the Navi goes on to tell us that God was clearly not letting Yonah run away. And run away from his mission, and the boat gets stuck in a terrible storm. Yonah realizes on some level that there's no running away from Ribono Shel Olam, not just in terms of escaping God, but everyone's got a mission. Yonah realizes he's on a mission that he's not going to be able to get out of, but it's balanced with that concern of bringing harm to the non-Jews. So he says, throw me into the waters. I don't want to be responsible for what's going to happen. I realize I can't get away from my mission, but I'm not going to be responsible. I'd rather kill myself than bring harm to the Jewish people. And ultimately, they throw him in. We'll learn what happens with the fish next week, with Hashem's help. But we see that irony at the end of the perek, that even the non-Jews immediately are inspired by Yonah and Hashem, and they repent. So all of Yonah's efforts to avoid making Bnei Yisrael look bad, by the end have gone to the wayside, because you see a whole boat of non-Jews have already repented. All right, Yishkoach.